Bingo. Prayer in the Old Testament. Those of you who have been with me through hell and high water and through the study of the Old Testament, and in particular the study of the tabernacle, prayer was taught through the ritual of the tabernacle. It's all, what we have anyway, is all in the doctrine of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the central feature of Israel's worship from the time of its construction at Sinai forward until it was replaced by the temple in the day of Solomon, the reign of Solomon. In this unusual structure that was tent-like but had coverings, but it had boards for the walls on three sides, and these were overlaid with gold. And the wood was a specific wood. It was acacia wood. And it was a way to teach that the Messiah would be God-man, gold being God, wood being humanity, overlaid. The altar of incense, now, and as you entered the tabernacle through a curtain that covered the front of it, and everything in it had significance theologically, doctrinally. Not always easy to sort it all out, but it is. You start with a process and build it until you figure it out. The altar of incense was the piece of furniture that was directly in front of the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. The most holy place represents the throne room of God. And, of course, one piece of furniture graced that, and that the Ark of the Covenant, with its lid and with its contents and its ability to be carried and moved from spot to spot. But it sat in there, and that whole area was constantly lit up by the Shekinah glory, the glory that fills all space beyond our world, the glory of God, the light. There was no dark places in there. But in the area in front of it, the holy place, were three articles of furniture, and our focus is on the altar of incense. The altar of incense was right before the veil that leads. This is where incense was offered up as a symbol of prayer, filling the whole place with this beautiful aroma, not based on this particular formula for the incense, that could not be replicated for common use, or you were in deep trouble. And only certain types, a certain family in Israel was able to make this incense. It's an art form. I mean, it's technical. The altar of incense teaches that all prayer is to be offered through Christ, Exodus 3:31-11. The altar of incense was located in the holy place, again, directly, and which speaks of phase two. The outside was phase one, inside phase two, and the most holy place, phase three. The priest had to first pass by the bronze altar and rinse his feet and hands in this water in this bronze altar before he could go in and do his priestly duties in his uniform, in his white uniform. He had to do this first to illustrate the rebound technique. Bronze indicates judgment. Water indicates the cleansing aspect of it and all. But when he was in there, that prayer is only for the believer who is in fellowship and praying properly. God judges that. The priest needed the light of the golden lampstand to offer incense. So to his left was the menorah with its seven candles. And that was the light. Otherwise, it would have been totally dark in there since there were no windows or other ways to bring outside light in. And that whole area indicates the believer in the world, in a world of darkness, but we are the light of the world. Israel was to be the light to the nations. The priest had to first pass the bronze altar, that's phase one, that's out there, that's the cross symbolizing it. and the bronze laver. The priests need the light of the golden lampstand to offer incense. Speaking of the light of the light of the Word of God, one needs to pray correctly, etc. I left out the altar, the table rather, that had the 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel. That again illustrates the importance of Bible doctrine through the bread, the word, so forth. The incense itself was a specific combination of aromatic substances representing prayer content. Now, people had incense in their homes, and there was people who made these kind of things that gave off this beautiful aroma, like there are experts today that make, you know, certain perfumes and colognes and things. It's a technical thing. And this it was a combination of these three substances, breaking prayer down into three parts: rebound, intercession or prayer, and thanksgiving. These are the broad categories of prayer. To alter this formula, that'd be one crime, was to be excommunicated from Israel. Wow. To alter it, to try to use it for common purposes. Speaking of God's attitude towards those who offer up strange incense. In the pagan religions, they had prayers and they had incense that they offered up, illustrating praying to their deities and so forth. This is all strange incense. It doesn't glorify God. It's got the wrong content. Everything about it is off base. Just like false worship. False worship. This is our house of worship. Well, what are you worshiping? You're not worshiping in spirit and truth, so the worship itself is not going anywhere. Israel, worshiping, doing all the things overtly right in the temple, were involved in false worship. Even though they were going through the right motions, they did not have... A person could go there, I presume, and become aware of things spiritually, but it was messed up. False worship. Vain worship. Only fire taken from the bronze altar could be used to burn the incense. So that means that prayer is offered up through the work of Christ. Apart from the work of Christ, there would be no ability for us to have prayer and be able to speak to God and call upon His name and make requests and all the rest of it. So it's a high privilege, and it's based on the work of Christ. The only prayer the unbeliever can offer up is basically the salvation prayer or God, show me the light. Get me where I need to be. I don't know what I don't know anything. But that God would read the heart of anyone apart from him in a prayer. He will bring them to the truth. So only fire taken from the bronze altar could be used to burn the incense. Leviticus 10 teaches the negative example that God does not hear the prayers of men who reject and operate outside the cross. The altar of incense was directly before the veil separating the holy place from the most holy place. Subpoint 8 here, telling us that phase 2, holy place, we, believer priests, offer prayers, incense, through Christ, the veil, to the throne of God, and that should not be trillions of light years away. That should be thousands of light years away. No, thousands of years away. Test, didn't catch that, did I? My bad. I will rebound that and move on. The heathen offer incense to their gods. 2 Chronicles 34:25. David recognized that his prayers were analogous to incense. Psalm 141:2. O Lord, I call upon you. Listen to me. Did you pray like that? God, hear me out on this. This aggressive prayer. Give ear to voice when I call on you. may my prayer be counted as incense before you. That means right content. The lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. The lifting up of hands indicates dependency on God. Set a guard, O Lord, and then he begins to pray for things. Over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So I'm not saying stupid and erroneous stuff. Communicating human viewpoint or other kinds of erroneous speech. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing. To practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity. Doctrine of separation. Keep me away from these people. All of them. Who are not in line with the truth. With men who do iniquity. And do not let me eat of their delicacies. I'm not going to fellowship with them. See, he's a king. He would have been invited to a lot of stuff. And rich people would invite him and serve him great food. I don't want to eat their food. I don't want anything to do with it. And he would know those people who are overtly wicked and corrupt Israelites within his own society. He also intercedes, let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. In other words, if I'm out of line, let the righteous step up and tell me I'm out of line. But let them do it. Let them be kind, which you would have been with a king, or you should be with any other person. You're not there just to hammer them to get pleasure out of it. Do it with kindness. It is oil upon my head. Do not let my head refuse it. In other words, not take the exhortation and the encouragement or whatever it is that might strike you as, you know, hit you hard because you're out of line. He wants the righteous to exhort him and encourage him. For still my prayer is against their wicked deeds. That's another area of prayer. My prayers are against the wickednesses out there today too. And it is everywhere. It is everywhere. And God's going to hear that prayer in time and take up and deal with these people that will not repent and will not get their act together and persist down this path. Their judges are thrown down by the sides of the rock, and they hear my words, for they are pleasant. What does that one mean? As one plows and breaks open the earth, our bones have been scattered at the mouth of Sheol. For my eyes are towards you, O Lord, O God of the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave me defenseless. Keep me from the jaws of the trap which they have set for me. He had big enemies in Israel that wanted to do him in. Naturally, he's righteous. He's a believer. He's there because God put him there. And there are those that want to bring him down. They're very criminal. They're trying to find a way. Imagine being David and living through all that and having those kind of enemies out there. We all have enemies. And from the snares of those who do iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets. Let a operation boomerang. Let it boomerang on their heads. So that's imprecatory type prayer. While I pass by safely. That's just one prayer of David's. Psalm 141. Things to think about. All right. We, the royal family, have an altar, Bible doctrine in the soul, from which we offer prayer, incense. Hebrews 13:50. Through him, Christ, then, he's the he's the intermediary between, and who knows how that works. We just accept it by faith. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that gives thanks to his name. Featuring thanksgiving here as an aspect of prayer. Things to think about your prayers. What have you thanked God for lately? Every day you ought to thank him for his salvation, that you have the truth, that you're learning the truth, that you're in this position that you're in without whatever distresses you're facing, we're all facing. Incense is used to picture the prayer of the saints, which lead to the judgments of the tribulation. Many believers through time have prayed for the kingdom of God to come. So there's a ceremony in heaven after the rapture in which incense is offered to illustrate all those prayers that are now going to be answered in the day of the Lord leading to the second advent and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. That's to illustrate that. So you're going to see a ceremony with incense, an actual ceremony, when we're right after we're raptured in the third heaven. As now, those who are acclimated to the word of God were heard. Proverbs 15. All right, 29. I must have another one here. Let me see. Proverbs is always a good book for you to read and helps you. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. The righteous are those who are under the adjustments to God. All right, moving on. So God heard the prayer of the adjusted believer in Old Testament times. Those are examples in the Psalms of him hearing and processing their prayers. David stands as one of the great prayer warriors of the Old Testament. That was part of what made him so great. He didn't rely on his own abilities. He had abilities, but he trusted in God to help him. As you can only imagine, that niche required a lot of the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. That just illustrates this. So you can read through the Psalms and get an idea, as we did this one Psalm, get an idea of the kind of things he prayed for. The temple later down the line was called a house of prayer in all those verses. Here, both Jews and Gentiles could come freely and offer up prayers to God in that place. It was a special environment. Prayers classification, as I've told you, confession, that's basic. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. 1 John 1:9. Intercession for self, praying for yourself, interceding for yourself, and interceding for other believers and other people around you. There's a lot of opportunity here. Thanksgiving for some specific blessing. And there's all kinds of things. We're to be thankful in all things. Praise for divine essence. Hallowed be your name. Again, Matthew 6:9. Prayer's protocol. This is basic to our understanding of prayer. The believer is to direct his prayers to God the Father. We already gave that. The believer is to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This does not mean you have to use the exact phrase, but we usually end our prayers in Jesus' name. Because you do not pray directly to Jesus, like a lot of people do. Because he is the one who intercedes. We pray to the Father, and as a part of his divine mediatorship, he processes, and somehow this works. The believer is to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jude 20, Ephesians 6:18. You're never to pray to the Holy Spirit, as is the practice of some. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and pray according to the Word of God, he delivers your prayers directly to heaven. Romans 8:26. And that is that's one I rely on a lot. The fact of I don't have to articulate a perfect prayer under pressure, but I have to do something. I have to make an effort. But beyond that effort, God the Holy Spirit makes our prayers completely complete and sensible. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We are weak. We are limited in knowledge. We're under pressure. We don't know how to pray as we ought to on a situation, but we're trying. We can be assured, for we do not know how to pray as we should, content-wise, completely, 100%. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So, basically, the Holy Spirit delivers the prayer up. Christ intercedes, and it's offered to the Father. And this prayer is made clear. So that's all basic stuff for you, for your approach to God in prayer. And whatever it is you're praying for. All right. Prayer's disciplines, maintain the filling of the Spirit. If you abide in me, that's being in fellowship. It's not staying in Christ. We're never asked to do that. We're there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, they'll be done for you. So it's a great combination. But again, it predicates the things, one, that you are in fellowship, of course, and two, you are praying according to the truth and the content of Bible doctrine to the best of your ability, and ask what you want, and it'll be done for you. Now, you can't ask for something that is not in the will of God. There's this area where, well, this might be all right for somebody, but it isn't for me. Or it isn't for me right now. So you have to recognize that this isn't just any old thing, going to go pray for $10 million. That's probably, you've involved your sin nature in it. Don't you think? And that, so what'd you do with all that? Wreck yourself spiritually? If there was a legitimate reason to pray for a specific amount of money for some situation, you might consider doing that. You need help in an area. Ask God for help. He says, well, it's beyond my budget right now. This is something we need. Okay, then pray about it. And watch God work. If you've ever never had that happen to you, well, you never had it. But if you have, and my words abide in you, that's doctrine. Consistency, pray without ceasing. Persistence, we already gave that. Inclusiveness, gave that too. But again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and entreaty, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right, I'm going to let you go early because I'm a nice guy. And, well, I thought I was anyway. I'll let you go early so we can get this all set up and get rolling so we can eat as soon as possible. As soon as we get it on board. The plan was to do it at 12:30. We'll see how quick we can get this going. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be here today and for the information presented. In Christ's name, amen.